Young guys, man. Flat, play the guitars, man. That's awesome.
Thank you, fellas.
Thank you so much. Thanks. We're blessed here at Covenant. Man, what a music team we have. What a blessing it is to be here today. Thanks for coming today and worshiping with us. We're glad to have you here and trust that you have already sensed the presence of God. And you heard Mel pray, come Holy Spirit, come. I think the Holy Spirit is here. I know the Holy Spirit is here among us. And that's the cool part about this day, is not about us, not about anything we're doing, but that the Holy Spirit is here in our midst, in our presence. And what a blessing that is to be part of that. I hope that you saw in the scrolling announcements, that little announcement video, the part about the Morrisseys. There are missionaries from Thailand that we support in Thailand. They're going to be here on Wednesday night, the 10th of April. So we've got one more Wednesday night of fuel for this semester. Then it's spring break for Oldham County, and so we won't have anything that week. But the following Wednesday, we're going to have a meal and just hang out together with the Morrisseys, kind of hear their story fresh and new, get to see some pictures of what they're doing in Thailand and how God is using them and how our dollars help support them in that effort. So I hope you can come that Wednesday night and be part of that really cool time together as well. Okay, so how many of you have ever said these words? Yeah. We all need more stuff, right? No. See, I would say that most of us have plenty of stuff. Maybe we haven't gotten to the point of hoarding yet, but maybe it's close. I don't know. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and Diana here in a second, but if I've told you this before, what I want you to do is just kind of nod your head like this is the first time you've ever heard it, because I may have told you this, I don't know, four or five times already. But we had to come to this place in our life where we asked, okay, what do we need to take with us? See, we moved several times. When we moved to LaGrange 7 years ago, it became very clear to both of us that we had entirely too much stuff. In fact, we found boxes that had been in our basement or somewhere in our house that we had carried with us for 3 moves, 20 some years. We're like, and it had never been opened. In fact, we found some boxes that were from early in our marriage that we had never opened. We're like, why are we carrying all this junk around? What? And it forced us to ask this question. Do we really need more? You know, in recent years, we've tried to invoke this 18-month rule. Now, some people try to do the 12-month rule, but we've decided 18 months that we try to go through our closets or go through our drawers. And anything that's in those closets or in those drawers that we haven't touched in 18 months, it comes out. It goes in a bag and we give it away to a mission group or to somebody that can use it so that we don't have it in our house just sitting there. Except every once in a while, I will find in the bottom of my drawer a t-shirt. Y'all have t-shirts that you just can't part with? I find these t-shirts and I'll look at it and I'm like, man, I can't get rid of that one. And Diana will just pat me on the hand and say, honey, it's okay. People really don't care if you won a softball tournament 25 years ago. It's okay. Let it go. You know, we just don't need more stuff. It was so freeing for us, to be honest with you, when recently, we decided we were going to simplify life a little bit, and we wanted to downsize. So we sold our house, and it forced us to give stuff away and get rid of stuff that, man, we didn't use, we didn't need. We found a whole lot of stuff that we didn't need and a whole lot of stuff that we didn't use, and it was just such a freeing experience. Some of you were beneficiaries of that. Some of you got way more stuff of ours than you really wanted. But that's okay. I mean, we just wanted to give it away. We just wanted to get rid of it. We gave it to mission groups. We gave it away to whoever would take it, to be honest with you. Now, here's the crazy thing. What we know is we got a whole lot more stuff that we need to get rid of. Even doing that, we've still got a whole lot of stuff that we've got to get rid of. In James chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles, grab them. James chapter 5, or grab your bulletins, and that scripture's there. James chapter 5, again, James is holding Jesus' followers accountable. Anybody that was going to read this letter, hear these words, it's an accountability thing. For those of us who say we love Jesus and we want to follow Him. And that's what this was for James. And as we keep going into this series, Real Faith in Real Life, we're going to continue to hear James over and over say, you know, we got to be accountable to Jesus. These last few weeks, it's like James has taken a page out of the Old Testament prophets and just railed on these Jesus followers against the social injustices and these shattered warnings to these followers of Christ against a life that is less than God designed it to be. James really wanted these people that he addressed to live life in holiness and in purity. And so it does sound like at times he's really coming at us. But that's why. Because he said, like, look, if you're gonna be a follower of Jesus, you gotta take this seriously. This is the real deal. And this is all part of it. So grab your bulletin or your Bible and follow along as I read these first six verses. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles against you, are ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages you've held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lords of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. I gotta tell you, when I first read those words, thinking about today, I was like, James, dude, take a chill pill, man. Come on. Cause here, he comes out swinging with both hands about things that a lot of times we in the church don't want to talk about. Money and injustice. Now, I guess you could read these words and you think, wow, James was, I don't know, having a bad day or something. Man, maybe he was a little bit angry about something. And makes us wonder, you know, if he's so angry or so worked up about the idea of having too much stuff, too much money, the riches that he talks about. If he's so worked up about that, should we too be worked up about that? Should we get all excited about riches and embittered against those who have too much? In fact, it made me want to ask the question, all right, who are the rich? Who are these people that he's talking to? And it really made me ask, could it be us? Could it be me? Now, not many of us here think that we're rich or that we live in abundance. I don't think there's anybody here that has a secret cousin named Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But I don't have to remind us that we are an incredibly blessed people. Researchers say that a family of four in our country, a family of four who live at poverty level, and poverty level in today, in 2019, is $25,000 for a family of four. Families that live at poverty level, listen to this, are in the richest 2% of the people in all of the world. We're blessed. Incredibly blessed people. And how about this? Statistics tell us that Oldham County is the richest, the wealthiest county in the state of Kentucky. And the 20th richest state in the whole United States. The 20th richest county in the whole United States. You see, in reality, the rich aren't necessarily those who have more than we do. Chances are the rich are us. Chances are the rich are you and me. We have so much. We have so much to be thankful for. We are so incredibly blessed. So is James angry? Are the other biblical writers that we hear talk about riches and money, are they angry? Is Jesus angry when he talks about that kind of thing? No. No, I don't think so. But James is really wanting us to be careful that when we live into our riches, live into the wealth that God has blessed us with, that we are careful not to oppress those who live life on the margins. Not to look down at those persons who have less than us or are struggling with life issues. He wants us to as we read these words, I think James is wanting for you and me to say, I want you to have a slideshow running through your mind as you read these words. A slideshow that would show refugees and children who are driven from their homes and from their countries. Children who are sold into slavery, widows, orphans, single moms, the mentally ill, the imprisoned, the aging, the alone. Those persons of our world who live out there on the margins. And James just might want us to be convicted as we read these words. Man, this is powerful stuff to me. James might just want us to be convicted of how quickly we are to cast judgment on those persons that we perceive to be poor. Those persons that we see in our community that spend their money on cigarettes and booze and lottery tickets. And we walk around with our Starbucks card buying those $5 lattes. Listen, James is not saying that it's inherently sinful or wrong to have money or to be rich. He's not saying that. What James is saying is that for us to have those riches and to ignore those persons out there in the margins, we need to take another look. We need to take another look. You know, I wish I had a dime. I wish I had a dime for every time I've heard someone say, money's the root of all evil. You know that, right? Thinking that they're telling me something that's in the Bible. It's not there, right? Just so you know. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Loving our riches more than we love people. James is really coming at us, and he's really saying, look, if we're hoarding up riches, and ignoring people who live life on the margins, that's what we're talking about here. It's not about being rich. It's about being selfish and rich. That's what James is going after here. It's about being rich and oppressive. It's about having resources and riches and then not caring about others who have no means to take care of themselves. The truth of the matter is that having riches is just like any other thing that God entrusts to you and me. Everything that you and I have, everything that you and I think that we own, everything that you and I possess, it's not ours. It's ours to manage, to bring glory to God. So let's take a couple of minutes, and I want to talk about the dangers of too much. I think there are a couple of things in this passage that help us, that we can see here. The danger of too much becomes really real when we forget how fleeting and temporary riches are. Somehow we think that we're going to have these riches and we're going to get to take them with us. Doesn't happen that way. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus was confronted by this guy who came to him, and he wasn't happy about not getting his full share of this inheritance. And he wanted Jesus to settle the score for him. But listen, here's what Jesus said in reply to this guy. Listen to this. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Then he follows up that little section with that story about the guy who was having more grain and more grain and more grain and didn't have any place to put it. So he tore down all the smaller barns and he put things in bigger barns and just continued to do that over and over again, not thinking about people around him. And forgetting that in the end, those things that you've stored up doesn't last. It doesn't go with us into eternity. And his point in those stories was to help the group of people who were listening to him know that life isn't about stuff. Life isn't about stuff. It's really all about the richness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. James was really echoing what Jesus had already said. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this: don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there is where the desires of your heart will be. And then in verses 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3, James just kind of doubles down here. He says, look, wealth is temporary and judgment is coming. Wealth is temporary and judgment is coming. You know, in James' day, the way that people would show off their wealth was by the extravagant meals they might have, or by the way they would dress extravagantly, or by the gold or silver that they had built up somewhere and put away and kind of were hanging on to. And James is like, "Whoa, listen, people." He's saying, listen, you know, that corn and that grain, it's going to rot. Those bigger barns you continue to build to keep that grain and keep that corn, it's all going to rot. And those clothes that you think are so cool and so fine and so special and make you look better than anybody else, listen, the moths are going to eat them. Moths love that stuff, so they're going to come in and eat all that fine linen. And that gold and that silver that you've got put away somewhere that you think nobody's going to see, listen, it's going to corrode. It's going to rust from the top to the bottom. It's not going to mean anything. If there's ever a warning for our age today, for right now, it's this one. Life doesn't consist of our possessions. Life does consist of the possession of abundance that Jesus gives us. Abundant life. That's the important thing. So, you know, you look at what James is saying, it's like, wow. This is some hard stuff. And then the big question then becomes, how well, with all the stuff that we have amassed in our lifetimes, how well have we represented Jesus and lived out generosity in the face of a world that thrives on having stuff? Maybe what James is really driving at is, how well have we prepared, not for this life, but for the next? So, you know, the dangers of too much. Sometimes we do forget that it's fleeting, it's temporary. But James also says, that danger of too much becomes so real when we so easily live in luxury and disregard the needs of others, especially those who are living life out there on the margins. This is the injustice side of things that Jesus speaks about. James wants these Jesus followers to really kind of get it. He wants these persons who would read this letter to really kind of grasp what he's saying here. That our commitment to Jesus is reflected in how we care for those who have less than us. It's our commitment to Jesus is really reflected in how we care for those who are poor and hungry, the widows, the orphans, the down and outers. James is really concerned about those people that he says in verses 4 and 5 that are working in the fields and they're being cheated. The injustice of the world. Look, you promised them this much, but you're not giving them this. You got all this stuff, and you're not even giving them what they work for? And James said, well, that can't be. If we're followers of Jesus, man, we've got to take care of those persons. They're struggling with life the way it is. They're struggling to make ends meet now. If we're followers of Christ, we have got to respond to those persons that have less than we do. We've got to see with Jesus' eyes the world that lives around us and take care of persons who are out there on the margins of our world. James said, look, there's a big time consequence for only taking care of yourself and ignoring others. Now, you know, we might get to the end of this passage and we're like, wow, didn't see that one coming this morning. And what do we do about that? How do we go from today where James is talking about this and just letting us have it about making sure we're taking care of people? Well, here, you know, one way we could do that is say, well, I'm gonna decide to do all that I can to pay life forward. And you know, to be honest with you, you know, some of the radio stations I pay attention to and listen to, they do that thing that, why do the drive, what's it called, the drive-through thing? You know, the pay it forward thing where you pay for somebody's meal behind you. And they make a big deal out of that. And they, oh man, you ought to be paying it forward. Well, listen, the person behind me can probably afford it too. And the person behind them can probably afford it. Is there someone else? Because I think those kind of things make us feel good in a moment. And say, oh, look at me. Don't we break our arms patting ourselves on the back? And that's not what James is talking about. That's not what Jesus is talking about. James is saying, look, followers of Jesus, it's time to get real. It's time for each one of us to take a deep look inside of us. And are the things that we're hanging on to in this life blocking us from taking care of people around us? Are the things that we're hanging on to blocking us from really fulfilling the Great Commission? The great commandment. Maybe what James is really driving at here is maybe there's a point in our lives that we need to repent. And repent, you know, I've told you this and you've heard it often, but to repent means that if I'm going in this direction and think that that's the way I ought to live my life, and suddenly I'm confronted by the truth of the gospel, I'm confronted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I, when I repent, I turn 180 degrees and say, I can't go that way anymore. I need to go where God's calling me to go. Maybe that needs to happen in our lives this morning. And here's the thing. I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. We have to hear the Holy Spirit whispering in our ears what it means. What it means to take care of people who are on the margins. What it means to not let those riches overshadow what God might want to do in our lives. So I just want to ask you to take a minute. Bow your heads, close your eyes, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. What is it that needs to change? Maybe nothing in your life. But let's let the Holy Spirit help us come to that place of decision.